Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the great Exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt, the 14th chapter. We read select verses today of that chapter. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. I wanted to get your attention. Today I'd like to have you possibly think differently about a tambourine than you maybe ever had before in your life. And maybe every time you hear a tambourine, to think about this story. The history of the tambourine goes back to Egypt, ancient Egypt. And it's believed that it was developed just by families as a little percussion instrument that you could have in your home to celebrate wonderful things or to possibly drive away evil spirits. And so it was very common for Egyptians to use tambourines in their celebrations. The reason that the Egyptians pursued the Israelites down into the Red Sea is because they had lost a tremendous source of income. They had lost their free labor. The children of Israel, from the time of Joseph on, had developed into a large nation. Some estimate as many as a million people. And that they were being held in slavery and used in many of the great construction projects that the Egyptians were undertaking. But then, of course, we remember the great story of the death of the firstborn, when God had his angel of death pass through the land of Egypt and kill the firstborn in every household that was not protected by the blood of the lamb painted on the doorposts of that house, which, of course, all the children of Israel had over their houses. And that night, the children of Israel picked up their things and began to leave the country, and the Egyptians were so glad to see them leave that they told them to get out of their country, and were told they brought to them their silver, gold, and articles of clothing. And I wonder, were there any tambourines? Were there any tambourines from these households that they passed on to the Israelites as they left? But not long after they had gotten out into the wilderness to escape, Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, had a change of heart, and he sends his army out after them to pursue them and to hunt them down. And now we see this very difficult scene for the children of Israel. They are trapped. They have mountains on one side. They have the sea, the Red Sea, before them, and this monstrous army, possibly the most powerful army of its day, coming after them on the other side. And it's men, women, and children, and they have no weapons. They have no army. They haven't had an army for generations because they've been enslaved. And now here they're in this very difficult situation. And they cry out to Moses and they say, "Did you bring us out here just to die? But Moses, the leader of God's people, speaking on behalf of God, says to them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." And then I love this line, "You need only to be still." You need only to be still. What was going to happen, this miraculous event, was going to clearly be by nothing but God's hand, God's doing on behalf of his people. And so Moses begins this desperate prayer to God to come now and help and deliver his people. And as we just read, God provides deliverance in this tremendous, miraculous way. Now, imagine what it was like for those children of Israel, especially the first ones at the front of the crowd, to begin walking down into what you had just seen was water. And we're told that the walls of the water were on their right side and on their left. Just imagine what that must have looked like as they slowly began to walk down into this previous riverbed and previous lake bed, and to now see the walls of water on each side of them. Probably fearful that at any moment the whole situation can change. What they're doing is absolutely ludicrous. What they're doing is contrary to anything that human reason would tell you to do. This is a dangerous situation. We shouldn't be here. This is impossible. This conflicts with the laws of science that they knew. This conflicts with logic and with what our human faculties would come up with. And yet, they decided to follow the word of God and to hear that word and the promise that God was going to take them through this. And sure enough, they kept walking. It's kind of a picture of God's believers in this world right now. God has given us his word and his promises that through the work of his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who went to the cross to pay for all of our sins, by faith in him, we have the hope someday of going to heaven and that we will arrive safely on the other side. And by following that promise, we will someday see God's deliverance for us from our graves. And yet we're tempted to look at our situation in life with human eyes and with our logic and our reason, and it seems ridiculous, it seems senseless, it seems like we're trusting in something that's pretty hard for us to demonstrate and to prove. And yet God gives us his word, he gives us his promise, he gives his sure word to his church that through faith in Christ and through the waters of your baptism, you will be brought someday into that eternal kingdom through faith in your Savior. And so the believer very, very carefully walks through this life. But that's what faith is. The author of the book of Hebrews says this, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." I'm going to read that again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Can you imagine the relief in the minds and hearts of the children of Israel when they finally did arrive on the other side, on the shore on the other side? Can you imagine the joy that they had in their hearts? The relief, the absolute relief. And then to go back to the edge of the water and to see dead bodies of the Egyptian soldiers floating all around you. What an amazing picture of God's powerful deliverance. And also how God always keeps his word. When he gives a promise, he keeps his word because he's above all powers of nature. He controls all things. When he gives you promises of taking you through your grave someday all the way to heaven, he controls all the elements of nature, and you can trust his word. Now, St. Paul, writing to the Romans, says that stories like this, this is what he says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." I'm going to read one paragraph of a man by the name of Martin Franzmann who comments on this. "That tremendous event was to stand as a constant reminder that God's kingdom, his church of believers, would always be embattled, never at rest because of the hostile forces arrayed against it. But it was also to stand as the guarantee of this truth, the faithful Lord would always intervene to check and crush all enemies and to give his own victory. And that's why in the Bible, this event isn't just recorded in Exodus, it's referred back to over and over and over and over again in the Psalms and the prophets. Take out your bulletin, if you would, and turn to the back panel, the far back panel, and you'll see there the song of Miriam and Moses. This was the song that they sang together and spoke together on the day that great victory took place. And here's what's interesting. We're told that Miriam and the women of the children of Israel took out their tambourines and celebrated this great victory on that day. Let's have this be our prayer today and rise and join together in singing this song of Miriam and Moses. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever.